When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Where's Martin at?
Martin, he was at yonder.
Tennessee.
Is it Tennessee? He's with Wheeler.
He's in Tennessee.
And they had a big high school, Jacob Wheeler's foundation had a big high school fishing tournament, which is a good thing, get high school kids.
Raise money. Water.
And Martin was helping host that.
Okay.
There's a lot of high school fishing tournaments.
That's good.
These days. Hey, a kid from West Monroe came in fourth in the national championship.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Colby Dark and his buddy, forget his buddy's name. Colby's one of the funniest little redneck kids in America, though. but his buddy, him and his buddy went up to Pickwick, and they were in fourth place. They came
Pickwick,
in fourth.
Pickwick, boys.
Woo. I got some big smallmouth up there.
I don't think I've ever, oh, I have caught a smallmouth.
Here?
No. There's not any here, is there?
No, no smallmouth here.
I didn't think so. No. Stone, what did you say? You had something?
Huh?
Water ain't cold enough.
You had something to tell us.
No, I ain't got nothing to eat.
He said no.
No. I thought you did.
Oh, well, you know what's coming up Chicken. This weekend.
The 4th of July.
That's right. Yeah. You know what that means.
USA, baby.
A lot of cooking.
That's right.
We get to do whatever we want.
Yeah.
Because we're from America.
And that's the smoker it. Will be smoking.
The garbage can will be lit.
And that's right. So, in preparation for 4th of July weekend, I have acquired 3 Boston butts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do my Guinness basted smoked butts on Sister Schubert slider rolls. They slide down easy.
And that's going to be at your house?
Yeah, that's going to be. No. Yeah,
about 3 o'clock.
About what time?
Not going to be at my house. No. Sorry, Si.
He's been in.
No, I think I'm out anyway. I'm in San Antonio, Texas.
What are you doing over there?
Uncle Si unplugged.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Since I don't have an on and off button, they got to unplug me, boys.
That could be dangerous.
I know. Hey. I don't like electricity anyway. I've had too many bad issues with it since childhood.
So you
got an electricity story. I can hear it, see it on the horizon.
Oh, no, no. Look, hey, I go in the bathroom, and we got the old-timey. It's got a little brass chain on it.
Yeah, pull cord.
Yeah, pull cord. It was off. So, hey, I crawl up on the sink, which was a little bit damp. Uh-oh. And when I say, it's... It's literally just swinging me around, and it finally turned off. It's the only thing that saved me. My weight turned it off.
Yeah.
So I don't, me and electricity don't get along.
Well, don't be wet grabbing stuff.
Well, that's it. Hey.
I electrocuted myself once, and I never want to do that again.
Yeah, electricity ain't fun. You can't see it, but it'll bite you.
I was fishing one time, and I was jigging a worm on a ledge, and I picked that rod tip up, and it started...
It hummed.
Started humming.
Oh yeah, that's a bad feeling. I've been there.
I put it down and it stopped. I picked it back up.
Yeah. When you sound like a bunch of bumblebees or humming, that's bad news.
Bumblebees.
I bet you that zzzz was.
Oh no, because hey, that hair on your neck,
mm-hmm.
it starts.
When I had hair do it.
Yeah. What's wild, like he said, if you got, you're picking it up to see if anything's got it. And it's
but like that would
and it goes back down.
That'll make you just put it down.
Yeah. Whatever. Well,
hey, that'll make you put it down, crank the motor up, and say, I'm going in. And
going to the bank.
Yeah, going to the bank. It's too much electricity in the air.
Whenever I was an unwise young man, I stuck a pair of tweezers in an electrical outlet.
Ooh.
And I learned never do that.
Don't
again.
Ever play with wall sockets.
I turned off
at that wall socket and said, what is that? What would happen if I stuck this in there?
Well, it was on the table. It was in the science lab at school, and I was in science class, and I was tapping the tweezers on top of the electrical outlet, and then I just went straight in.
Oh, yeah. And science project.
The teacher walked in at that moment, and she said, this is it. This is I'm going to have to call his parents and say this is the first student I've ever lost in class because sparks went to flying, my arms went to shaking.
Oh, yeah. Lights turn off.
Yeah.
I shut down half the school.
That's what I'm talking about.
It literally went off. Yeah, all the kids in the computer lab, bonk, all the computers turned off.
Lost all our stuff.
It's a legend at that school. They're like, hey, in this room, we don't put tweezers in the electrical outlet. It will cause problems.
Yeah, it will cause issues.
I wasn't always the brightest.
All them redneck boys was like, where'd you put that in there at?
Oh, it hurts. It literally hurt. So don't do that, kids. Don't do drugs or stick tweezers in electrical outlets.
Mm. Well, at least you charged up for the rest of the day.
Battery's charged.
I was ready to go.
Don't do drugs and don't play with electrical outlets.
I have a healthy respect for electricity. I just call an electrician anytime I need anything because it scares me.
Well, there's nothing to be. If you don't know what you're doing, you don't need to be messing with that.
Exactly.
In fact, that's a rule I live by. If I don't know how to do it, I ain't going to mess with it.
Yeah. That's a good rule because you normally tear up more stuff if you don't know what you're doing. That's and then right. It costs even more once you've torn it all up. Mm. Anyway.
That's why when people ask me, Tommy, do you ever bear hunted? I said, nope. I made a rule when I was a young kid. And they said, what was the rule? I don't hunt nothing that will hunt me back.
Yeah.
That's a good rule.
That's what I don't get. They shoot them with bows. Them things will eat you.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're part of the food
you make
chain.
A bad shot. Yeah, you're dinner.
Yeah, like you talking about, they hunt grizzly bears with the bow. That's, you know, he's like bear with the polar bear. The grizzly and the polar bear are the two biggest and baddest. Okay?
They all bad to me.
You're doing hunting a grizzly bear with a string, sticking string? No, thank you. I don't even hunt him with a big cannon. Okay, no,
I wouldn't hunt a bear. No. I would
not. Anything that can make one swipe with his paw and break a moose's neck and then eat him. No, sir.
That sounds like a late night PBS.
Oh, hey, I'm telling you, a grizzly bear is dude.
you watched a grizzly bear break a moose's neck.
Well, I've read about it.
You've read about that one?
Yeah.
I mean, you would think so. Oh, did you see that movie where Leonardo DiCaprio got tore up?
No. I thought that was actually real. Oh, yeah. Then they said no.
Si was there.
thought it was real?
You thought it was real?
I thought it was real.
Man, those cameramen weren't nice.
No, that was all
put the cameras down.
Computer done.
Shoot that.
Put that camera down and shoot it.
That's right. Hey, don't quit filming that. Kill the bear. Crying out loud.
Oh, it did look real.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't
remember. Brutal. Yeah. Brutal.
What was the name of that movie? I don't
remember. The Revenant.
There it is.
Yeah.
That dude was tough.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are you talking about?
The bear or the dude?
I like when he poured the gunpowder in the wounds in his beard. And
Oh, yeah, because he lit it to cauterize the wound.
Cauterize the wound. Hey.
People were way tougher back then.
Way tougher.
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about? That was when men were men, boys.
Real men.
All right. I'm talking about, I've always said, you know, when Phil was running wild, you know, his motto was, who's a man? And every time they'd say it, I said, hey, leave me out. I'm a boy. Okay. Y'all go ahead with that stupid stuff because I'm a boy. I ain't into the manhood yet. Mm. No.
Have you made it yet?
No. No. That's like my wife. Her tolerance of pain is just, my pain is, the tolerance level is zip. Okay.
Well, it hurts to get hurt.
Well, no. I'm just telling you,
Hey. That's one of the wisest statements I've ever heard. It hurts to get hurt.
It hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That goes along with that one that Philip made the other day. About what is known is manageable.
What is known
what
is
known is manageable. Well, yeah. On that note.
What hurts? Wait, what is right. What was it?
What hurts is it hurts.
It hurts. It hurts to get hurt.
It hurts to get hurt.
Yeah. Get hurt.
Yeah.
And what is known is manageable.
What is known is manageable. That's right. On that note, let's take our first break.
Let's take a break.
All right, I'm going to get some coffee.
Martin?
Yeah, buddy.
What's the greatest piece of mail you've ever gotten?
I don't know, man.
You do. What? It's a mattress, and it came from Helix. Not the best thing ever? You open a box, boom, you have a mattress, and you're like, a mattress in the mail? I don't know. And then it's like the most comfortable mattress ever because it was tailor-made for you because you took a two-minute quiz, and it was like, hey, you're exactly what you need. Boom. And you're like, wow, this is the most comfortable thing on earth. Thanks, Helix. It came in the mail.
I will have to say, until you get a mattress in the mail, you never realize how tedious going to a mattress store actually is to find the one for you, where you can sit down and in 2 minutes answer all the questions, whether it's for you, you and your wife, your kids, whatever. Fill out the questionnaire and they send you a mattress that's made for you because that's what they do. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences. They have 20 unique mattresses, including award-winning Lux Collection and a mattress for, shocker, big and tall sleepers. That's your boy. And even a mattress made just for kids. And now Helix is bringing us their most premium mattresses yet with the new Helix Elite Collection. Every Helix Elite has a built-in cooling cover, thousands of supportive coils, dual cushioning layers, and even lumbar support for a truly elevated sleep experience. So if you want to know which one it is, take the quiz. You can get it done in 2 minutes or less. And then you have a mattress that's built just for you, and it ships straight to your door.
And then you jump on it and just, hey, you're sleeping on a cloud, boys.
You can jump on it. You can lay on it. You can do whatever you want on it because it is that, it's that well made. And there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it. So 100-night trial to try out your new Helix mattress.
That's right. And if you're not satisfied, which you're not, you're going to be ecstatic about how great it is.
Look. There you go. And we're all unique. We all sleep differently. That's why Helix has several different mattresses to choose from. They have models with memory foam layers, models more responsive foam to cradle your body, enhanced cooling features keep you from overheating. And if your spine needs a little extra TLC, they got you. It has a hybrid design combining wrapped steel coils in the base and foam layers at the top. So, I don't know what else you could want in a mattress. Johnny D., he's wrapped up in a pillow in a cloud every
mine
night.
Mine is just a soft, fluffy, beautiful cloud.
There you go.
I should go back home right now.
Moonlight, right?
Moonlight.
There you go. He's chasing the moonlight. Not only is this the best mattress we've ever slept on, but the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattress delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Don't take our word for it. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by Wire Magazine, and it's recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Plus, they're American-made and come with a 10 or 15-year warranty, depending on which one you get. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/duck and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long with Helix. Better sleep starts now. Go to helixsleep.com/duck and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
I got big news, Martin.
I ain't reading this.
Martin, I have big news.
I know what the news is, and I'm still bitter.
We're not on this.
I know we're not on. Look,
we were not nominated for a Clove Award as expected.
And
Sadie was.
They got one beard on the whole thing.
And I don't. Well, that's good. I sent this to my wife and said we weren't nominated. And she said, oh, I listened to 3 of those.
For real?
And I said, do you listen to ours? And she said, no.
No. Well, good thing. We're
but
not
she listens
that.
To Sadie.
We are team players at the end of the day, no matter how bad our feelings are hurt. And so we think that you should go vote at klovefanawards.com for Sadie. And whoa, that's good. Then you scroll on to the movie
that's
category.
Right. Then you go and vote.
Film Impact, The Blind is nominated, Martin.
Okay. So I guess technically Cy could win because there was a lot of the movie about Cy and The Blind. So, yeah, be sure to vote for The Blind while you're there as well on klovefanawards.com.
That's it.
You're not on the cover or the back of the thing, Cy, but
I ain't worried about it.
You were still my favorite part of the movie.
I ain't worried about it.
Okay. If you love Cy Robertson, go vote.
That's it.
Voting ends May 24th at 6 p.m. Central. All you have to do is go to klofanawards.com to vote for the blind. And, whoa, that's good. That's klovefanawards.com.
Speaking of bears, we have a first on Phil's property.
Oh, that's right. We got black bear problems.
So I pulled up to one of Willie's protein. Oh, what the crap?
That's one of them
high-priced magnet, boys.
That thing's
that dang. Baby, hey. Hey, that's a magnet there.
Just think if that thing would have fell on your toe. Your toenail turned black, it'd fall off.
Golly. Anyways, I'm riding down the road, four-wheeler, and I come up on one of Willie's 550-pound protein feeders for the deer, and it was laying on its side. And I had just put 550 pounds of feed in that thing.
And protein feed is expensive.
5 days prior, okay?
Yeah. 500 pounds on the ground.
So I got to inspecting, and I came to the conclusion there's only one thing that could have done that.
A bulldozer.
And a bear.
But this bulldozer's got black eyes. Okay. And Harry weighs about 450.
I said, Phil, I think we got a bear. I mean, it was dry, so it wasn't any prints.
Yes.
Too dry. Yeah. I mean, there. I thought I saw a bear print, but anyways, Phil said, no. Deer did that. I
was like, deer?
No, deer didn't turn it over.
And I said, no. I'm pretty sure it was a bear because we've never seen one because he's not, and I could see why he would think that. He hadn't seen a bear on that property.
We did
ever.
See tracks years, about.
Plus, you got to think about it. He's over there
years ago,
most of the time.
He's every day.
Yeah.
He
most
rides.
Of the time he's
but
over
they've
there.
They've been on a mission to bring the Louisiana black bear back.
Well.
And they've done
it. Oh, they've done it.
I posed the question, why?
Why would you bring the
why?
Yeah.
Would you want a 300-pound raccoon? It's pretty much what he is.
It's what he is. It's a big old trash panda.
Our farmers next door, they destroy their corn crops. I mean, I don't know what they're good for, to be honest with you.
Well, I saw one going down right over by our house. There was one. There was a kid outside playing, and I look over and I said, that's a big dog. Nope, that's a bear. And I stopped. And I was like, hey, kid, go inside, please. And then his mom walked out, and she goes, he told me he saw a bear a minute ago, and I didn't believe him. I said, it's right there.
Right
like,
there.
He's trying to climb a tree. And it was like a baby bear, which means mama's probably somewhere close.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
Well, according to Wagon Train, okay, back in the days of wagon trains and Indians and cowboys and all that, you know, Indians used them, their grease, okay, their fat.
Oh, yeah.
They greasy.
Oh, yeah, and they greased their body, and it kept all the bugs and the gnats and the mosquitoes and all that.
Now, I have heard.
That's the
why didn't Noah
train.
Swat them two mosquitoes?
I have heard.
I'm just telling you. This is the corner white wagon train.
Why didn't Noah swat them two skeeters?
It keeps the mosquitoes and all that off of you, bear grease does.
Well, I also heard that bear fat is the best leather conditioner you could ever use.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, because they're.
That's why all the Western movies, when you tell them, well, I'm going to go kill the bear and get the bear fat. You know, that's how they said it, a bear.
Bear.
I'm going to give him a bear.
I'm going to go get bear fat.
Bear fat.
Also, my friend Sloan brought a jar of bear fat. When he came, it was that a few months ago, and he asked me to fry some fish.
In bear fat?
Wow.
No, it was deer steak.
Oh.
And it was delicious.
Really?
It was rich.
Well, I tried bear meat
in
Arkansas when I was a teenager hauling alfalfa hay up there to a farmer.
Mm.
Yeah. And
It was
stout tasting.
I bet.
Oh yeah.
Musty.
Yeah. It was really well, yeah, I didn't care for it. Well, we had caribou, bear, elk.
What kind of bear was it?
Black bear.
Blackberry, he wasn't much over and eat everything in it.
Everything.
He wasn't much.
I'm just saying, he's a giant.
They're like a, they're like a goat. A bear's like a goat. A goat eat anything. Beer cans, it don't make whatever it is. He'll eat it. He'll eat it.
Is a black bear even like a predator, though? Like, will it?
Yeah, he can be.
He can be.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, will he kill, like, a rabbit and eat it?
You know, I'm not sure. What about it, Si?
No, no, I think he's more. No, no, I don't think he's really a meat carnivore.
Vegetarian.
He's like a, you know, he eats a lot of berries and grasses.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I'm serious. And protein feed.
He's bad on like on fruit trees and stuff.
Protein feed.
Corn. I mean, they just.
Because up there in Alaska, when you, you know, up there, you got to, when you're picking blueberries. You got to be always watching out for the grizzly bear because they love blueberries.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
They eat a lot of what they do. They'll bust the old rotten log apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They eat a lot of grubs and junk like that.
Yeah, they will do that. I've seen that. Yeah. I grew up hunting
but anyway.
What is now the Tensaw Game Reserve.
Well, that a bear there in Tensaw Parish, the bears are, they got a good population in Tensaw.
They were, I was a kid then. And one of them come, of course, it scared me to death. I was on deer stand. But he was rummaging around old rotten log laying on the ground. I was wanting him to get out of there. Then I seen a German Shepherd come running through there. Daddy said, no, that's a coat. But,
Looks like a German Shepherd, though.
That's what I thought it was.
No, I'm serious.
So I just sent that bear picture. So anyways, I put up a camera to
got a picture of it.
See what.
Knocked it over.
The apparatus.
There it is.
And there he is, boy. There's the culprit.
Yep.
That is a bear.
Martin says it's a young male Louisiana black bear.
Yep.
How can you tell?
Also, Martin's an expert. That's how.
He's a biologist.
Also known as a giant raccoon.
Giant raccoon.
That will tear up.
And that's one thing that is black. He is black.
No, his.
Well, they're bad on that's a different feeder. That thing weighs what? Probably stone. What's the weight of the deer?
550 pounds.
And he knocked it over.
Yeah. It was probably 400 pounds of feed in that thing.
And he knocked it over.
And not only did he knock it over, he ate the 400 pounds.
And he sat there and ate
the whole thing.
The whole
cleaned it out.
Good grief.
Feeder.
Now you're just making him stronger.
I bet you he's got diarrhea now. All that protein.
That'll run straight through a man.
No, he's
don't
probably
stand behind him when he coughs.
He's probably way bigger now, okay?
Yeah.
That's like eating a meat plus from Johnny's. That ain't staying in you for
Now he's on steroids, boys. Protein.
Yeah, the scary part is.
He said, bring me a 1,000-pound one. Let me show you what I'll do.
What I'm thinking about watching this, is that Phil was getting eat up by some kind of fly in the woods, him and Dan.
And they wasn't
bothering Dan, and Philip said,
no seams. No seams.
You know, and Phil said, why? I'm getting, these things are eating me alive. Why ain't they bothering you? And he said, because I got Victoria's Secret on. So
they know the secret to get
there. So it got so bad, Phil said, well, hand it here. Let me. So he sprayed it down where he went deer hunting the next,
And
he had it sprayed it out, when he got in the woods, when sitting on a deer stand. And he had walked to the deer stand, climbed up it, and he sees something moving coming toward him. Well, it's three raccoons. And they're one father, they're walking, and then they're standing up on the hind leg and go. So look, they followed him, slammed to the deer stand, climbed up the steps, and are in getting in front of the, right up there on the last step, and... Hey, you don't want to wear a Victoria's Secret.
No.
Bear may come to come to your deer stand.
Bear may be attracted to
you. It may attract a bear.
Up them women in them lingerie. That's what they do.
Well, hey, there you go.
Well, let's expand more on Phil wearing Victoria's Secret when we return.
There you go. Messages. I'm just saying, if bugs are eating you alive, you got to do something. Victoria's Secret was wrong, ain't it?
No, it was right. Yeah, Amber Romance was
the title of it.
So I noticed that in Phil's boat. I went with him to Realm of his Hoot Nets. This was probably 12 years ago. And I got in the boat and I saw that bottle of Amber Romance right next to the driver's seat. And I said, Phil, what's that all about?
What is this?
He said, don't tell nobody.
Don't tell nobody.
Well, we better not.
We just
yeah, and we done told the whole world.
Don't tell nobody.
Well, that was 12 years ago. But then he said, oh, I use that for those gnats. He says, the only thing that works on gnats. So I put it on. Guess what? Gnats didn't bother me.
All right, look.
It works. But now the deer stand story, now that wasn't the Amber Romance. That was actually the Febreze, which Phil calls it Febreze. Febreze. It's Febreze.
Well, that stuff smells.
Okay, let me tell you about that. So Phil said, let's go sit on a deer stand. This was a while back, 10 years ago probably. So we get out of the four-wheeler. We're just going to sit on a deer stand and watch deer. Well, Phil pulls out a bottle of Febreze and starts spraying it on himself. I said, Phil, what are you doing? He said, this Febreze, you spray this Febreze on
nothing.
Those deer, they don't know you there. Yeah. I said, whoa, it sure got a potent smell. I mean, it was like
linen.
Yeah.
Linen, like, I don't know what the smell was. Like
brand new bed sheets. Smelled like brand new bed sheets.
I mean, it was a loud smell. Yeah. I mean, it was, I mean, I could smell it way off.
Good grief.
And I said, Phil, I think that would just do the opposite of what you're trying to do. He said, he held up the bottle and he said,
you can't even tell it.
Well, you got to understand.
This has got to be good.
This is Phil Robinson, who's a man.
He held up the bottle and he looked at me with wild eyes. He said, eliminates odors. Duh. And I said, hey, whatever.
You ain't argue with that.
No, you got to understand, though, this kid that told him that, okay?
Every time
he would go deer hunting, we was going duck hunting. We'd meet, you know.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
You know,
yeah,
he said, hey, I'm going to be up there on Epps stand deer hunting, you know.
Yeah.
Well, look, he'd come out, and when he'd step out of the truck, he'd spray himself down with, you know, I don't know what the name of it, you know, if Febreze, whatever it was.
Febreze.
You know, spring season or whatever, you know, and then, hey, we're in the duck blind, and we hear, bam, 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 bam. You know, and we'd feel said, good grief, he's shooting the woods up, y'all. You know, you ain't never killed nothing that way. Well, we'd come back and they said, hey, what was all the shooting about? He said, well, I shot at a big 8-point that run by.
Yeah.
You know, and then a 6-point come walking up. Y'all shot at him, missed him. You know, and he said, I finally killed that 4-point I've got in the back of my truck. Every time he'd go, he would kill a buck.
And shoot a box of shells.
Yeah, and shoot a box of shells to do it. You know, he said, hey, they're running all over me, y'all.
That tells me he was shooting them a long way.
Stone's about to ban
getting
somebody.
Around that smell. Hey,
this whoever this human is,
banned.
Not on the premises anymore.
Oh, he ain't around here no more. This was years ago. No,
this was before.
Yeah, this 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, this was before Law and Order.
Yeah. Yeah, it came to town. That's before Matt Dillon arrived on the scene.
That's right.
Once the law showed up, we shut it down.
You were telling that story. I was trying to figure out what scent had to do with ducks. Then I realized that all the shots were at deer.
Oh, yeah. We were duck hunting. You know, we were in the blind. And I mean, he literally, daylight would break and it would be bam, bam. And Phil looked
wild
at, what is he shooting at? And
that's
I said,
exactly
I have no idea, you know.
He needs sight in his gun.
But then when we come up here, he said, "Well, you shot about 8 times. What did you kill anything?" He said, "Yeah, I finally killed a 4-point.
Finally,
finally killed a 4-point. Yeah,
all right."
I say one time Red shot a 4-point. He said, well, I got me a nice 4-point. I said, there ain't no such thing.
What is a nice 4-point?
It's a nice 4-point. He just kind of looked at me. I was like, okay, well.
Oh, man.
But anyways, we got a good thing going now.
Yeah.
Law and Order came to town. There's no more shots at dawn.
Hey, Matt Dillon shot all this wild living, all we're doing
so,
down.
But the Febreze story is one of my favorites. And to this day, he still thinks that if you spray Febreze on your hunting clothes.
What if it says, hey,
eliminates odor?
He's got a point.
Can't argue with that.
I think it just covers up more than
that. Hey, it is stout. The smell is strong. Yeah. Okay, it really is, yo.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's that, all right.
But anyway. He kills deer.
Who?
Phil. Does he?
No.
No.
Not because of that.
No, he don't.
I mean, me and Si supply Phil with his venison. Mm-hmm. That way he don't have to go out there.
That way he don't kill our good bucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we figured out a while back, as long as you keep the back straps coming.
Yeah, he'll stay out of the woods.
He really doesn't want a deer. He doesn't enjoy it like we do.
That's true.
Yeah.
He enjoys eating them.
Yeah.
But he does not like sitting on a deer stand. Now, he'll sit in a duck blind and watch the sky all day long. Yeah. That's what he loves.
On the chance of seeing one duck.
That's right. Yeah.
What if he flies by?
Yeah. I'm like, hey, you can't kill him sitting in a recliner at the house, boys. Mm. He said, I ain't got nothing else to do. Let's stay, y'all. We've been there a half a day. You know, it's 2:00 in the afternoon. I'm like, hey, you had enough? He said, I ain't got nothing else to do at the house.
Yeah.
He said, I'm over sitting in the duck blind.
What else you boys got to do?
Yeah, what else you boys got to do? Then some of them said, well, hey, some of us got to work for a living.
You'd have never filmed that first duck hunt. We wouldn't be in this predicament.
That's right.
He said, hey, look, you boys ain't got much of staying power here. You got to ride the hole.
Yeah.
Ride the hole.
They got a business, too.
Oh, no.
Like Al told me, a very wise man once said, my dad is infatuated with misery.
With misery.
Sitting in a duck blind from daylight to dark.
Yeah, and the fear of missing out.
Yeah, FOMO.
The phobia of missing out.
FOMO.
At any moment.
Fear of missing out. Well, if we don't go.
Well, let's pick back up on that after this break. You don't work for us no more. I forget how many. Last time I checked, they sold one metal detector.
I'll say this.
It was actually interesting with Jason yesterday talking about metal detecting.
Oh, yeah? Is that what he was talking about?
Oh, he talked about metal detecting?
Well, he didn't go on about it, but what he said was interesting to somebody that didn't know nothing about it.
Well, because Murray,
they found a moon rock.
The history.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It's cool looking.
Oh, no. When they cut that thing,
it got shiny. Tell me,
it's like diamonds all in it. It's shining. When they cut it with that saw, whatever they used, it brought that thing to life. I'm talking about.
What's that thing worth?
50.
He said $50,000.
Really?
24 pounds, and it's worth about 50 grand. But you tell me pretty when they put that saw on it.
We need to go look for rusted looking things.
You can get you a nice aluminum boat, 50 grand.
That's it.
Used to.
Nice, that one.
Nice aluminum.
Well, yeah, that's right. Used to. I mean, good grief.
Who knows what they are now?
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're proud of these things nowadays.
Well, everything is just
overpriced.
But anyways, I say let's get back on that daylight to dark deal.
The best one that ever happened.
Yeah.
Okay. No. That's when we had three blinds in one, and it was right there in the middle of the lake, and we were facing west. We had one that faced west. We had one porch that faced south, and we had one porch that faced north. And it was a full blind. You could sleep four grown men. We had a kitchen and all that in it. So we go in there, we're in the blind by about 4:30 in the morning, and we've been sitting there, and hey, it's right at probably 4:30 something, okay? Legal shooting hours is over about 5 o'clock. Yeah. So it's 5 minutes to 5, okay? So, all right, I've had enough.
So y'all been there all day?
All day.
All day.
All day.
Were
Phil
you there?
Said, Phil said, I've had enough, boys. Load up. So we get in the boat, and right when we pull in the buck brush.
W.E. went and got the boat.
Yo.
Wait, hold on a second. Before you continue, how many ducks have y'all killed at this point?
We've killed probably 5 or 6.
Five or six ducks.
Not much. Okay.
All day long.
Maybe. It may have been 10. But
the front was coming.
Yo, all day is the front. So we waiting on the front head. It didn't. So, look, it's 5 minutes till. Phil said, I've had enough, boys. Load it up. You know, so they get the boat and come back. We get in the boat, and as soon as we get out of the blind and get right where the buck brush starts, where we're going to park the boat on the shed. We look back, and 100 mallards just cup and cup and doing this.
In the decoy.
In the decoys. And Phil just shut the motor off. He said, boys, he said, we done sit here all day long. He said, somebody ought to take a break of limb off and just beat me half to death.
Yeah.
He said, we done sit here till 4:30, just four, a quarter to, 5 minutes to five. I said, you talking about stupid. He said, why didn't we just wait 5 minutes?
And that's where said, riding the hole started.
Yeah, and then that's when, from after that, no, when you finally said, let's go, nope, we wait until dark.
He said, never again.
Never again. Never again. He said, we done sit here for all day long, and then left right at the wrong time, and 100 mallards went in the pocket, boys.
Well, that's where it all started, I guess.
That's it.
You don't want to miss it.
Don't want to miss it.
So well, going back to Jace, you know, I actually had a good time on the family vacation this year. First time I played golf in about 4 years.
How'd you do on that?
Oh, I did terrible, but we had fun.
But we had fun.
So,
well, with Jace along, that's the first.
I ended up.
you keep saying that, and then Jace comes on here, and it was a great time.
Oh, look, Jace is a lot more fun than he used to be. I'll give him back.
I got to give him a hard time, boys.
Oh, yeah, hey, we love him.
He's a namesake.
So I ended up riding back. Well, actually, I drove his truck.
His truck.
While he was doing the stock market stuff. And
it's a good time for that.
And doing all of his notes on their podcast. And I learned a lot about metal detecting.
I learned a lot about metal detecting when he came on.
And the stock market.
And the stock market.
We stopped one time. And we made it back in like 5 hours and 45 minutes from Gulf Shores.
That was pretty good.
Which was good.
Pretty good.
And I had my wife and my 7-year-old.
About 8 hours.
In the back seat.
Oh, the other ones. Back about eight.
So, and then Miss Kay, her rig made it back in 9.5 hours.
Okay, 9.5. Excuse me. 8 was wrong.
They were just crossing into Mississippi, and you were in your recliner.
Yeah, Bullfrog rode with them. She said, that was a nightmare.
We stopped at every little side thing.
Everything they saw on the side of the road, Miss Cable stopped.
Oh, we
got to
look at that.
They had about a rig half full in the back when they left there. When they got back, it was...
Slam.
It was produce and
pulling over for every little thing.
Oh, everything.
She buying Christmas presents for the grandkids.
But no, I actually enjoyed the vacation and the trip back with Jace. It was very enjoyable.
He knows about metal. I'll say this about Jace. When he gets on something, he gets on something.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, he ain't no halfway.
He ain't going half cock.
He don't do nothing halfway.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
He's full in on that.
Yeah, if you're going to put it your time in, how you going to put it in fully?
If you're going to be a bear, you might
be a grizzly.
Grizzly bear.
Yep. That's funny. Yeah. No, he was telling us that he can tell the difference. Like, whenever he's metal, he can hear the different tones. He's like, oh, he knows what that is. I'm like, that's impressive.
I would never find nothing.
You'd be digging that. It'd be holes all over you.
Well, no, because, hey, my high frequency, it's gone.
Oh, yeah, it's gone. I can't hear high pitch.
I would just be waving the wand and ain't nothing happening.
That's what we had in my
recliner.
Hear
that little beep. They talking about, okay, beep. I didn't hear no beep, boys.
Recliner at the house, and Paula say, that thing's squeaking. I'll be rocking in it, you know. I can't hear it. She said, you need to fix that. So I turned it over, sprayed WD-40, and I got in it, and I went, yep, fixed it. She goes, it's still squeaking.
No. Fixed it.
That's like Christine goes on the porch. I leave the refrigerator door open, and it's got a little beep, beep.
Yeah.
You know, she come in and tell me, can't you hear that? I said, hear what? She said, the beep. I said, that's high frequency, baby. Nope.
It's too many. You
hear a refrigerator beeping?
Oh, yeah. When you leave the door open, cracked, doesn't shut.
That's not that high frequency.
Yeah, it is. It's for mine. Anything up there, nope.
Oh, he hears it.
Bad burn.
Don't say you hear that.
He probably does.
He just wait for somebody to come home and shut it.
He's got the same kind of hearing I got. Paula tells me I have selective hearing.
Mama used to tell me, Daddy told me, no, he hears it. It's selective hearing.
That's it.
He hears what he wants to hear.
Yeah. And that's another reason why Phil likes to hunt till dark, because he's actually come out and said it. I say, Phil, you know, what about it? There ain't nothing flying. He said, hey, this is better than listening to an old woman talk on the phone. That's the real reason he wants to.
I've always sit back and watched. Yeah. I can't even come up with that much to talk on the phone about.
Oh my goodness!
It's just
It never stops.
Y'all.
Yeah.
And you're saying, wait a minute, they've been on a stupid phone for 35 minutes.
Yeah.
I said, what in the world are they talking about?
When I was in high school, you know, talking to them old gals, trying to talk them into going on a date.
You'd be,
go somewhere.
You'd talk to them for 35 minutes?
Oh, you know, back then, now.
Send a text. A
couple of words. I don't like sending texts.
You don't go out?
No. I mean, talk, see you later. If I got some business to tend to, call me and talk to me. Don't be writing a letter to me.
Don't write a letter to Godwin and send it to his phone.
So what do you do, like, when somebody calls you up and say, what's up?
Oh, I don't like it.
Here's what I do.
I'm like,
well, you call me. Good grief. Yeah.
You got something?
Tell me what's up.
I got a buddy who'll call me and be like, hey, man, what's going on? And I'm like, I'm at work.
Yeah.
And he's like, I hadn't talked to you in a while. I'm like, yeah. Okay.
You need something?
Dude, we got something to accomplish.
I learned that this move from Phil. If somebody calls and says, what's up? What about it?
I'm not a big
you better make it,
talker.
You better make it quick, too, because then if it's coming up, hey, Daddy had three words. Hello. Yep. Bye.
No, he didn't say bye.
It
wasn't no bye.
Y'all don't say bye when y'all.
No. The Robertson on phone.
Y'all just hang up.
No, Si says bye.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. With phones, no, sir. It, you know, Daddy had, like I was talking about, Daddy had three words. Just, hello, yep, bye. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. Right. I remember.
I've actually hung the phone up and the person was still talking. Click.
I remember Missy. When Missy was a secretary up there, she down at Phil, she come in and had one of them flip phones for Phil. And he listened to her, and she was showing him, you push this button for Jace, push number two for Al, push all the way down, you know, and John and everybody. And Phil looked at her and said, I ain't got time for that. Walked out. She just went.
So much for that.
He let her go through the whole speech. Wow. She showed him how to use it, push the green button, you know, to call.
And he said,
push the red button to hang up.
Nope.
Me and phones don't get along either.
They won't work.
What it is, he's got people around him all the time.
They got people with phones. They just don't want to use them themselves.
They're a lot of trouble.
You will get in trouble. All right, well, let's take a break, and we will be back with that email inbox, hello@duckcallroom.com. All right, y'all ready for the first email? I got two or three pretty good ones. I like this one. I got this one today. It's from Daryl. He's from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Daryl and Daryl, boys.
You've been to Cheyenne.
Daryl and Daryl.
I've been there.
From Cheyenne.
All right, well, Daryl's been married for 11 years, has a 6-year-old son, likes to go outside and hunt and fish and stuff. So he did lose his dad when he was 9 years old, so he's been teaching himself how to hunt and fish. But he just bought 2 Duck Commander duck calls, and he's excited to learn how to blow them. What do you guys recommend to learn how to blow them the right way?
Mm.
So you need to be quiet, Si. Oh,
okay. He said the right way.
The right way.
You're in luck because we have a lot of instructional videos on our YouTube channel, don't we, John?
Of course you do. If it ain't
YouTube
on the channel,
build them all.
If it ain't on the channel,
well,
by the videos.
Yeah, we did run some videos on some different calls. We have, of course, we have a lot of different species: wood duck, gadwall, teal, widgeon, pintails. I think we have a structural.
I used to have a wood duck call.
Used to.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
What happened to it?
I gave it away.
He gave it away to a fan. He gave it to a fan.
One of the kids at the sportsman's camp.
Yeah.
At Willie's sportsman camp.
He walked up to me. He said, Jay said that I could have your wood duck call. Would you sign it? I said, what? I looked over at Jay. He's just laughing.
The kid had one that was too high pitched for some reason. And I knew Godwin had a good one. So I just took the liberty of getting Godwin's off Godwin, his lanyard. And,
you can get another one.
Hey, boy, you'd have thought I'd give him $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he'll have
it. Awesome.
It made his day. But anyways, go to the YouTube channel, Duck Commander's YouTube channel, and scroll down till you see some instructional videos, and they're very, I would say, what's the word I'm looking for?
Earthy, down to earth.
Yeah.
Easy to follow.
Yeah.
Well, they're easy to follow. But,
simple instructions.
They're detailed.
Detailed, yeah. And easy to follow.
And simple.
So, and blowing a duck call is not an easy, blowing a hen call is not an easy thing to do. You have to learn to pressurize your air and control your air. And you use your tongue as a cutoff valve. It's very difficult to do. It takes years to perfect it. And not only how to call, when to call is actually more important than how to call.
Right.
So, number one rule, never call at their face. Always call at their tail feathers.
Yep.
So, if a duck's coming in, don't call at him. He's coming.
He's on
where you want him to go.
What you want him to do.
You know, some people just can't help it. They got to call him all the way to the water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, that's part of it.
Yep.
But, anyways, I would say check those videos out. And they are helpful. Be patient because it's not easy. Start out with your whistles. And those are easy.
Put one in your cup holder, and everywhere you drive, you can practice.
And then follow teacher's instructions. Practice makes perfect.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Practice makes perfect.
Well, then, so his email continues after that and says, on a more serious note, he's looking for some advice. He's a believer, but struggles with being the best I know I should be. I struggle with doing things I know I shouldn't. I'm just looking for direction on how to overcome poor choices. I want to be the leader of the house I should be and set the example for my son. What do you guys recommend?
Get up every morning, make you some coffee, and get you a Bible and read one chapter every morning.
That's some good
advice. Start your day with some scripture reading.
Some scripture reading.
Yep. And then you'll think about it all day. You go to do something you ain't supposed to, you go, maybe I ought not do that.
Yeah, and that conscience will kick in, also known as
Holy Spirit.
There it is. He was looking at Si.
Here's the deal, okay? We're all too hard on ourselves, okay? You got to realize when Jesus said, okay, I wipe used a sheet of paper, bunch of writing on it, okay? Jesus wipes that clean, okay? He's forgiven you, okay? Now you need to forgive yourself.
That's right, okay? Which is hard to do.
Yeah. Which is hard to do because you always say, well, golly, I done it again.
Mm-hmm.
I done been stupid again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, hey, learn to forgive yourself. The Lord's already forgave you, okay? And he's big enough that if he says, hey, I've forgotten it, because a lot of people tell me, well, hey, I'll forgive you, but I ain't going to forget it. Well, if you ain't going to forget it, then you didn't forgive me. You know? It's one of them deals. So, hey, forgive yourself and then move on because, hey, we're all going to do stuff that we know when we're doing it. This is wrong. What am I doing?
Mm. You know?
So, hey, forgive yourself. Stop being so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
And just move on. Always focus on Jesus, okay? He's already forgiven you. Forgive yourself. The guilt's gone. All that's gone, okay? So you've learned to say, yeah, okay, I did it, but all right, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. Like John said, read the Word. The Word, it'll be fresh in your mind.
And if you're wondering where to start, just start with Luke. Read Luke and then Acts, and that'll remind you why you are a believer.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, because I mess up every day. You cannot
I do
be
something. Yeah,
perfect.
I do something wrong every day too.
If you dwell on, if you just you dwell, live at home on that, earth. You're going to be in a bind. So, you know, just try your best and
I think, like
Godwin said, start the day with a little scripture.
And I think it's Daryl. It shows that you are trying, which is the most important part.
Mm-hmm, like, that's right.
Nobody is looking at you saying you're not perfect. There's one perfect dude, and thank goodness he was perfect for all of us. But
yeah.
You know, you look at the apostles, even them dudes were literally in Jesus' presence and they were a mess. Like, they screwed up and did stuff. You're like, why would they do that? And then you're like, yeah, because I would too. Because we're not perfect. But, you know, Stone said the thing about the Holy Spirit inside of you. That's clearly inside you, because you're sitting there thinking, man, I got to do better. What should I do? And that, you're doing it. You're asking for advice. You're trying to figure out this weird, tough thing that we all call life. So, Daryl, I think your side's right. You're being a little tough on yourself. I bet you are a great dad. And he sent a picture along with that, this email. Look, here's his son's first fish right there. I don't know what kind of fish
that's
that awesome. Is.
That's a perch.
A yellow perch.
They're yellow
very
perch.
Good.
And that's a good one, too.
That's a big one, too.
Yeah. I like that awesome. Rod.
That's awesome. Hey, continue taking your boy fishing. And keep him in the outdoors fishing, hunting. Make it fun for him.
Yeah, look at that smile on that kid's face.
That's
what it's awesome.
All about.
Yeah, that's all.
Making memories.
Making memories. Well, we'll end this thing on an old Bible verse. Is that the right time? I'm going to look at it. We ain't got Martin. Is that
good? John 1:6. I like that one.
Ooh, I had one about running the race, but John 1:6.
Let's look at what John 1:6 is.
Johnny Goblin.
I was going to say, John has got a lot of good things to say.
John 1:6, there was
read it.
I like this one too. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That was the Bible verses. There was a man sent from God. His name was that was good stuff.
That's
his
good.
Name was
John's
John.
A good name.
Yeah.
He can't even read it. He's so tickled.
I thought it was wrong. No, that was it. Whole verse. There was a man sent from God.
There was a man named that came from God.
His name was John.
There it is.
I thought we were about
Johnny Goblin one-liner, baby, straight from the Bible.
I said, he's got the wrong verse. And I said, that is the right one.
That's perfect.
Well, Daryl, here, I'm going to give you one other one besides his name was John, just for what you've been talking about. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone competes in the games, goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Daryl, keep running. And keep running in the direction of Jesus, and you will get your prize at the end of this life, man. Okay, so stay tuned, because we got a little treat for you. Coming up after this is over, Cy, Jace, Jep's new treasure hunting show. It's on Fox Nation. We're going to give you a little clip. You can listen to it. If you're on YouTube, you can watch it. And it's on Fox Nation. You can subscribe to it. Hey, and if you're a first responder or a veteran, they're going to give you your first year for free. So go check that out. There's a bunch of episodes. Cy, are they hilarious?
Yeah.
They're hilarious, according to Cy Robertson. So go check it out and stay tuned and check it out. And I'm going to keep saying check it out because I don't know how to end this. See you.
I don't know what to do with his hand.
You know, Jessica told me the other day, we got married. I had one tiny little patch of chest hair. After like 5 years, I had hair on my back, shoulders. I mean, and she's like, I was lied to. All you had was a little bit of hair, and now you're the hairiest person ever.
Now you're a gorilla.
I don't know what happened.
You got creepy.
Hey, I heard a rumor. Your wife actually talked you into getting your hair cut?
No. What it was, yes, the answer is yes. to most people, getting this haircut would be no big deal, but I considered it a sacrifice. When I looked in the mirror, I scared myself.
It was a cultural shock, wasn't it?
Oh, I just went, oh.
Well, it, you know, that's what we got, I think. Our genetics, that's it. Our super good thing is hair.
Hair.
Super well, hairy.
We're outdoors people.
Yeah, I wish it had been like muscles or like maybe strength brains. Or just anything. Brains would be nice. Just real hairy. I mean, kind of sucks for my kids, but you know, whatever.
The really good thing about it, though, is that I got a lead from the hairstylist while I was there. Old home place on what used to be the Mississippi River, which is now a lake. She was like, here's the contact. I'm like, can I have her number? Yes.
Where is this?
Well, she said Buena Vista or Buena Vista, something like that.
Yeah, I know this place. It was a Union hospital during the Civil War on the Mississippi River.
Hey. Back in the day, they traveled that Mississippi River to and fro. That may have been the hub spot.
It very well could be. It's a early 1800s house, so yeah. It's old enough to have the stuff we want to find.
I say we go check it out.
So where are we going?
I think we ought to go tomorrow.
I can go tomorrow.
We just can't be gone all day. We got the graduation party at night.
It's important, so we need to be there, but I'm saying it's late in the evening, Jeff. We can get what we need to do and make it back. I mean, I hadn't been late in at least a month.
Sounds like a plan to me.
How big is this place?
It's not that big. We can cover it in a day, that's for sure.
Let's do it.
That's what I'm talking about.
We'll celebrate our daughter's graduation, and then we'll celebrate the treasures we found.